You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM.
And so I wanted to end this segment with an honorable mention. It's not necessarily a breach, but it kind of is. And that is the top passwords for 2020. Now, essentially, an organization goes ahead and collects all of these passwords. And so they basically collected 275 million, over 275 million exposed passwords on the dark web, put them into a database and said, okay, show me the amount of hits that I'm getting per password, how many times it's been exposed and all of that. And so these are the top 2020 passwords that you and I and everybody else were using. And I'm going to give you the top 10 or 11 or so. The first one is 123456. It's the same password you have on your luggage, if you know that reference. Over 2.5 million users of those 275 million were using this as a password. It takes less than 1 second to crack it, and that password was exposed 23.6 million times in 2020. That is insane. The next password is a little bit more aggressive than 123456 because it's 123456789. You think you're being smart, but 961,000 of you were using that, again, less than a second to crack, and 7.8, almost 7.9 million exposures on the dark web for that password. Number three is actually new to the list from last year. It wasn't in the top 10 from last year, and that is all lowercase, the word picture, with the number one. Picture one was a new password on the honorable mentions list here. 371,000 of you had that. That actually takes 3 hours to crack, if you're assuming you're brute forcing, meaning you don't know that there's a word in there. And basically 11,190 exposures of that during that period. Number four is password. All lowercase. Your password is password. 360,000 of you had that, less than a second to crack, and 3.8 million exposures. Number five is very much like number one or two, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 322,000 of you had that, 2.9 million exposures. Number six is 111111. Really, I've seen that like forever. 230,000 people were using that and 3.1 million exposures. Number seven is 123123. You think you're getting clever? You're really not. 189,000 of you thought that. 2.23 million exposures to basically that password. 12345 rounds out at number eight. That was last year's number one, interestingly enough. So it went down eight spots because apparently 123456, which was last year's number two spot, is now number one, or I should say 2019's number one. So there you go. Absolutely crazy. But 12345 in 2020 had 188,000 users using it for 2.38 million exposures. And number nine, which was formerly number 11, is 123456789 0. Also takes less than a second to crack, for the record. It's so easy to calculate these things. It really is. 171,000 users to 2.3 million exposures. This one's brand new. Number 10 is actually brand new. I've not heard this. I don't know where this comes from. I have not Googled it. It is all lowercase, and it is the word Senha, S-E-N-H-A. Apparently 167,000 of you, almost 168,000, have this as your password. It takes about 10 seconds to crack, and basically 8,200 exposures. So, wow. And these are going by number of users, not number of times exposed, by far. So, and number 11, and that'll be the last one I give you, is actually 123456789. So basically, coming from 12345 all the way up to 8, 9, and 0, you have the entire gamut of the single digit spectrum here. 165, almost 166,000 of you have that, less than a second to crack, obviously, and 2.5 million of you, basically, or 2.5 million exposures of this. So this is absolutely bonkers. We need to do better with passwords. And I'm hoping for 2020 that you are taking my advice here, that you have a password that is of four character sets, uppercase and lowercase numbers, excuse me, letters, uppercase, lowercase letters, numbers, and special characters like exclamation point or dash, asterisk, question mark, pound sign, you know, anything like that, that basically allows that password to be more complex, much harder to crack. And then I'm hoping that you're enabling that with multi-factor or two-factor authentication. You can go download a free app for yourself for an authenticator like Authy, A-U-T-H-Y, and then you can go to Facebook and Amazon and Google and all of that and use that authenticator. So every time you log into a computer, it essentially prompts you for a code that changes 30 seconds after you type in your much better password than 12345. Come on, people, we can do better. And it's just absolutely nuts. And so with that, those were your top breaches of 2020. Those were your top passwords, all horrible for 2020, that have been exposed to the dark web tens of millions of times combined. And so, like I said, we can do better, but those were your breaches of the year.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin.
And this week's deep dive was not the deep dive that I had originally envisioned for my very first radio show of 2021. I wanted to do a prediction show that I'll probably do later in January. But we have to talk about the SolarWinds data breach, because it is gearing up to be the worst data breach in the history of the internet. And I am not exaggerating when I say that. That is not hyperbole. This is a huge, huge problem. Now, I have everything. I've done the entire timeline, basically up to the new year, of what's gone on, what we found, organizations that are hit, essentially what this is. I'm going to lay everything out here in a very comprehensive manner, so you have total information on SolarWinds. This may be directly impacting you in your job. It is impacting you because of your government. It is a huge, huge thing. And while the world is focused on the election or other, you know, other news stories, this one can't fly under the radar because it is so, so problematic. And so with that, let's start. If you didn't know, this is essentially what happened. And I'm going to go through the basic timeline here of what we know. So on Tuesday, the 7th of December, FireEye, which is a cybersecurity outfit, they do a lot of research into threat intelligence, they revealed that their own systems were penetrated by what they called a, quote, nation with top-tier offensive capabilities. Now, everybody was reporting on this. This is coming from, in this case, the New York Times. But essentially, FireEye, which should be one of the most secure private outfits on the planet, essentially got hit by a nation state and got hacked. The next day, on Wednesday, December 8th, all of the news outlets started reporting on the FireEye disclosure. The Wall Street Journal mentions Russia as the most likely suspect, and that was the first publication where I could find that Russia had been mentioned as the state-sponsored actor. Now, if we skip forward to Sunday, December 13th, FireEye publicly reports that SolarWinds, that's the company in question here, their product Orion, which is a network monitoring solution, has a vulnerability that has allowed nation-state attackers access into thousands of companies and entities, including the U.S. Treasury and Commerce Departments. The Washington Post identified APT-29, that's also Advanced Persistent Threat number 29, also known as Cozy Bear. This is the same group that is believed to have hit FireEye and is essentially Russia-based. Reuters then confirmed that FireEye, at this point on the 13th of December, isn't saying if they use Orion or not, simply that they've discovered it. So FireEye has reported a breach. About 6 days later, they say that SolarWinds Orion has a vulnerability that the Russians basically got into and were using this. Their hacking group, Cozy Bear, was using them to get into companies, but FireEye is not saying that they're using Orion. On Monday, the 14th of December, Wired, the publication, reported that SolarWinds disclosed to the Securities and Exchange Commission that as many as 18,000 organizations were possibly vulnerable to this attack. The CISA, which is the cybersecurity wing of the Department of Homeland Security, ordered all federal agencies to turn off SolarWind products. This is Monday, December 14th. Now, what makes this actually very interesting is that the SEC disclosure by SolarWinds is, we think, very limited. According to SolarWinds, Orion has 33,000 customers around the globe, and they are reporting that possibly 18,000 are impacted by this. So there is basically a suspect here, or rather the disclosure is suspect in that we think it could actually be affecting more companies than what they are disclosing. Now, on Tuesday, the 15th of December, Yahoo Finance reported that FireEye discovered this backdoor into Orion while probing its own data breach, which then confirms that FireEye is one of those companies that is essentially targeted with Orion. They had Orion, and that's how the Russians got into their network. Now, we're not done. So on Wednesday, December 16th, reports say that Microsoft took control of a malicious domain, like a website that was basically being used in this SolarWinds attack, and turned it into a kill switch to basically stop this infection in the Orion software from phoning home back to the Russian hackers. On Thursday, December 17th, the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration, these are the people that handle our nuclear arsenal, were identified as being a victim of this Russian hack. That is according to multiple publications. On Friday, December 18th, basically it came to light that a December 7th warning from the National Security Agency stated, and I quote, "Russian state-sponsored malicious cyber actors are exploiting a vulnerability in VMware Access and VMware Identity Manager products, allowing the actors to access protected data and abusing federated authentication." Now, this came the day before FireEye disclosed their breach. And so VMware, which is one of the largest software infrastructure providers on the planet, more corporations are using VMware to run their servers than I think anybody else. This now becomes a possible vector, meaning VMware had a vulnerability that could have allowed them to gain deeper access once they got a foothold with Orion, or they used VMware to access it and then compromise Orion as well. That is from Friday, December 18th. Also on Friday, December 18th, essentially, the threat actors for SolarWinds, the vulnerability is now being called Sunburst. That's what FireEye has named it, Sunburst. They appear to have conducted a dry run of this test getting into SolarWinds before actually making their vulnerabilities live within SolarWinds' network. So in 2019, they essentially got into SolarWinds and said, hey, we can move around. Let's make sure this is working. And then when it's working and they verify that it can work, then they deployed. They actually were able to do a rehearsal of this massive data breach right under the nose of SolarWinds and everybody else. Now, on Saturday, the 19th of December, a second hacking group, different than the original team, also targeted SolarWinds earlier in 2020, according to Microsoft's investigation. And to quote Microsoft, "The investigation of the whole SolarWinds compromise led to the discovery of an additional malware that also affects the SolarWinds Orion product, but has been determined to be likely unrelated to this compromise and used by a different threat actor. SolarWinds was so insecure," and we will get to that, "that a second hacking group was able to get into SolarWinds and implant more malware on top of the Russian hacked Sunburst malware." That is insane. Also on Saturday, December 19th, Recorded Future, which is basically looking at cybersecurity breaches, identified 198 victims of the attack. That was the first identification of victims, and we will get to the victims. Also on Saturday, December 19th, President Trump, then publicly on Twitter, downplayed Russia's involvement by pointing the finger at China, despite all of the contrary evidence. He literally tweeted out that, why is everybody blaming Russia when we all know it's China? "Everything that we have to date, I have personally talked to people that are very close to ground zero. I have actually seen the direct evidence of the actual infected files. and the evidence or IOCs, indicators of compromise that point to Russia, everything in my cybersecurity expert opinion, and the radio show is not my day job. Let me tell you, I just enjoy doing this. I do cybersecurity for a living. Everything points to Russia. We have no indicators that the sunburst problem has anything to do with China. That is another serious problem, because now you start to confuse the general public when there's no reason to confuse them. Moving on, now we're up to Sunday, December 20th. Chris Krebs, the former head of the CISA, who was fired by President Trump after Mr. Krebs said that the election was secure. Chris Krebs, I consider a colleague. He is a fantastic cybersecurity operator. He warned that the scale of the cybersecurity breach was, quote, probably more broad than the hacking of SolarWinds. He also said that we should be very careful about escalating it if the United States, and when he was asked if the United States should retaliate. So you've got expert opinions from all over looking at this, myself included. It is looking like Russia. It is, there is no doubt, given all of the information, and I can go through that in depth, but this is not an issue with China. Now, with that, let's go to Monday, December 21st, because Palo Alto Networks, they're an enterprise firewall and threat intelligence company, and other outfits reported that the threat actors are actually also planting malicious code in what is known as the .NET library. This is a Microsoft product that allows platforms to communicate and all of that without getting too technical. And so we found another basically malicious item within SolarWinds as well. On Tuesday, December 22nd, the North American Electric Reliability Corp, or NERC, this is the regulatory authority for both US and Canada combined, basically said there is no evidence of tampering, but that Orion was used in the electricity incident, was used in the electricity industry, so investigations are continuing. On Tuesday, December 22nd, cybersecurity researchers at TruSec decoded part of the infection and were able to basically reverse engineer and generate a list of some of these compromised companies. And so that got out there, which adds to the 198 that were disclosed by Recorded Future. On Wednesday, December 23rd, the CISA, again, the cybersecurity wing of the Department of Homeland Security, reported that state and local governments were also now being targeted by this breach. Also on Wednesday, the 23rd, investigators say that the attackers took too much risk and created a quote-unquote unforced error, which led to their discovery, meaning Russian intelligence, those that were in this, were taking too many risks, exposing too many parts of this, or trying to spread their infection too wide that somebody caught wind and identified the entire network. It is absolutely nuts. On Thursday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, and I quote The Intercept, SolarWinds software has also infected more than a dozen critical infrastructure companies in the electric, oil, and manufacturing industries who were also running the software. And so basically they came out and essentially repudiated NERC, who said that we don't see any evidence. Now, a couple of days later, we are seeing evidence that this has affected electric, oil, and manufacturing industries. Those are critical infrastructure to the United States. Also on Christmas Eve, CrowdStrike, another cybersecurity outfit similar to FireEye, stated that they were also targeted for a 17-hour period several months prior to this and that the attackers were unsuccessful. This also then suggests a much wider net that had been previously assumed and confirms what Chris Krebs said just a couple of days prior. Skipping ahead to December 29th, which was a Tuesday, Microsoft believes that the attacker's final motive was to, and I quote, use the backdoor access to steal credentials, escalate privileges, and move laterally to create valid SAML tokens in order to access cloud assets and on-premise equipment. In other words, essentially this was giving them access to steal the many different ways to log in, to escalate privileges, meaning that they are going to go ahead and elevate themselves to an administrative level if they could, so that they will gain wider access. And if they're creating SAML tokens, they're essentially trying to defeat the two-factor or multi-factor authentication. And so that obviously is a, you know, is a huge, huge issue. So that's a very, that's a problem. And we are still not done with 2020. So on Wednesday, the 30th of December, the IRS, that tax-paying body, said that taxpayer data was not exposed during a Senate Finance Committee meeting on SolarWinds because the IRS uses SolarWinds Orion as well. And finally, on New Year's Eve, the CISA's deadline for all federal agencies to either update or remove SolarWinds Orion completely essentially came and went. And so we have some other issues that we've seen as well. In the last couple of days, as I'm sitting here talking to you on Monday, January 4th, and I'm sure you're probably listening to this a couple of days after the initial broadcast, we know that Microsoft says that the Russians were able to view some of their source code, although not alter it. We don't know what products, if it was Windows or other products that Microsoft has, but this is obviously a very huge issue that we've got, and it is continuing to evolve. Now, with that, I want to talk about the organizations that we know were directly targeted in this. And so we are talking about just a whole bunch of different companies and everything else. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but we are looking at multiple departments of the U.S. government, such as Treasury, Commerce, National Nuclear Security, Department of Energy, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, Department of Defense. We're also looking at states like the California Department of Hospitals, the Nevada Secretary of State, and on and on and on. A ton of city governments, a ton of banks were hit. Cisco, the massive infrastructure provider. NVIDIA, you may know them from their video cards, but they do a ton of other things. Intel was also hit. Obviously, they make processors and other things. Microsoft, universities such as Kent State, various counties such as, Pima County, the U.S. State Department, VMware, and on and on and on. Not to mention internet service providers like Cox Communication that was using Orion to manage things. This is massive. What we also learned too is that SolarWinds was warned in 2019, literally in 2019, before the 100 years that was 2020, that anybody could access the servers essentially where they kept their updates. And this is how the Russians got in. And the reason why anybody could get in is because they set a public password that you could log in with to, and I literally all lowercase, SolarWinds 123. That's right. SolarWinds 123 was the actual password that SolarWinds was using to secure their public-facing infrastructure. That is ridiculous. That was also caught by independent audit. They were warned about this. They didn't change that. That is unbelievable to me. And with that, let's talk about the vulnerability itself. Because there's a lot of information regarding specifically, this is basically the malware or the breach that launched thousands of other breaches. The SolarWinds Orion platform has contained this vulnerability since March of 2020. Now, as I mentioned, FireEye, this is the one that first detected it, labeled this backdoor as Sunburst. Now, essentially what this is a file. It's called a DLL or dynamic library file that's sitting in Windows that is essentially a digitally signed component, meaning what that means is that it has a certificate that says it is authenticated. It is digitally signed by the Orion software framework, and the Russians were able to basically insert a backdoor into that that would communicate to third-party servers outside of the organization, basically phoning home. They Trojanized essentially the update for Orion. And so as your company that was running Orion basically said, hey, I need to update Orion to the latest version, they would phone home to SolarWinds to get the update. They would download that update from SolarWinds. What they were updating was an infection. Now, this infection, known as a Trojan, goes dormant for up to 2 weeks once it's installed, meaning it doesn't activate automatically to try and evade detection. Once it goes live, it then executes a command. These are known as jobs in Orion, which then allow it to do things like transfer files, execute files, profile the system, disable system services, even reboot the infrastructure, not to mention start downloading and sideloading other infections into the network. It also masquerades as the Orion Improvement Program Protocol, or OIP. And so basically, as it's traversing the network, it's looking like regular Orion traffic. And so it's storing the results within a whole bunch of legitimate logging files. And so it blends in with legitimate SolarWinds activity. It's really, it's evil, but it's brilliant in this sense. And so by virtue of that, all of this was delivered via the update service. And so if you have Orion and there's 33,000 companies that have it, and you're getting updates in this time period, you are getting infected. This is it's a stroke of mastery. That's the only way I can say it. It's horrible. Same way with ransomware. When that first came out, I was like, this is genius. It's evil, but it's genius. They went completely undetected. And so then the question becomes, how the heck did every detection system on the planet miss this? From the enterprise, number one firewall, number one AV, all the way down, nobody caught this. Until essentially an unforced error happened by the Russians that then brought this to light. And we are still unpacking this. I will probably be talking about this for the next couple of years, not this comprehensively for the foundation, but to give you guys updates on this probably in the news section. But how did this happen? I can tell you how. The government basically, and as a premise, the government has spent billions and billions of dollars developing a threat detection system for the internet in the United States called Einstein. You may not know about this, but essentially the government put sensors all throughout the internet in conjunction with internet service providers to monitor and see any kind of incoming threat that could potentially harm the government's infrastructure or aspects of the internet here, and it totally missed it. Unified threat management, next generation enterprise firewalls, antivirus, all of this missed this traffic. The number one firewall on the planet just let this go. So why? Why did nothing detect this? Now, I'll tell you why. Because these infected updates were coming from SolarWinds directly as a legitimate install, and they were digitally signed by SolarWinds. This infection could spread because the detection systems of the world already knew what SolarWinds traffic was and was essentially allowing it on their network.
And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A ESP. Again, that's Nick A ESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.